from Wondery. I'm Virginia Madsen, and this is Whose Amazing Life. You've heard of people who changed the course of history, but before they made their mark on the world, they were people like you and me, still figuring out what they wanted to do with their lives. On this episode, you will be that person everyone knows. You might be a musician, or an athlete, a scientist, or a painter. You may know what the person accomplished later in life, but now you can experience everything they faced along the way, from challenges and heartbreak to triumphs and excitement, all the moments that built this person into someone who would change the world. There will be clues to who you are, so pay attention, but only at the end will you find out who you are. So sit back and imagine your amazing life as the activist. Imagine, you're surrounded by the green metal walls of a bathroom stall. You're sitting on your backpack on the tiled floor, holding your knees close to your body. The kids from the playground can't find you in here. But you still feel your heart beating in your chest. Someone's coming. You scramble to crouch on the toilet tank.
Is anyone in here?
You hold your breath so the teacher doesn't hear you. You watch a worn pair of brown leather shoes slowly walk towards your stall. You see a blonde ponytail swing down when the teacher bends over to check under the door. The hall monitor's eye peeks through the gap in the door. You let out a groan as she spots you.
You know you aren't supposed to hide during recess. Now come back outside.
You consider refusing to move, but you don't want to get in any more trouble. So, with a shaky hand, you unlatch the door that kept you safe. The teacher marches you down the hall, and your body gets more and more tense as you brace yourself for recess. You throw your hands over your ears. Why are the other children so loud? How can they stand the sound of their laughter? You do not want to get any closer to that noise. You give a pleading look to your teacher.
Can't I stay in and read?
You can read in class. This is time for playing with your friends.
Friends? What friends? The monitor leaves you at the edge of the grass, and you just stand there, watching the kids play some incomprehensible game called tag. You don't actually know how to play, but you hear them all screaming, "You're it!" at each other. Even though you've been watching them play, you still don't really know what it is. Is it like being called dummy in class? Or weirdo? Or any of the other names they call you? Is it just another nickname? Maybe if you learn, they'll stop being mean to you. Maybe they'll even let you play. But this game doesn't make any sense. You walk up to a girl who's swinging on the monkey bars.
What does it mean?
The girl lets go of the bar and drops down. She towers over you and looks at you disgusted.
What are you even asking about?
I'm trying to learn the game they're playing.
How do you not know how to play tag?
Well, I've been watching them, so I mostly know.
Oh, you're so weird.
She runs away from you. You stand in the middle of the playground, unsure what to do. All of the kids are running around you so quickly. You're just trying to understand all of these rules. They are all yelling so loudly, it's hard for you to think. And then you see it. A juice box stuck under the slide. You look around more. There's a plastic bag twisted in a tree branch. An apple core under a bush. A water bottle forgotten by the soccer net, just left there. You really, really hate recess.
You're going to be late for class. Time to head inside.
The hall monitor yells at you, and you unclench your eyes and remove your hands from your ears. You're alone on the field, and the bell has stopped. You hurry over to the slide and pick up the trash you spotted. You want to tell someone about all this garbage, and about what it's doing to the planet. But
You can't even talk to your classmates about their stupid game. How would they understand something as important as this? How would you explain it to them?
Are you coming?
You look up at the teacher and nod, without opening your mouth. You've decided, if people aren't going to understand you anyway, maybe it's better to keep your mouth shut.
Hey, grown-ups, power up your family's playtime with the Nintendo Switch system, the home of Mario and friends. Jump into the unexpected with Mario, Princess Peach, and more in Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Or challenge each other to a race in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Go to Nintendo.com and browse the full lineup of Nintendo Switch systems. Additional accessories may be required for multiplayer mode. Games, system, and some accessories sold separately.
Let's turn to Chapter 7. A few months later, you're in the library after school. Anita, one of your teachers, has started tutoring you outside of class. Because in class, you haven't said a word in weeks, and no one knows why, including you. You just don't have anything to say to anyone who isn't your mom or dad or sister or Anita, your favorite teacher. She teaches you everything, reading, math, history, science. You really like that subject. And you really like talking to Anita.
Biology, Section 1. There are two types of organisms, single-cell organisms, or prokaryotes, and multi-cell organisms, or eukaryotes. Every single organism on Earth falls into these two categories, from the smallest of bacteria to the largest of animals. Mycoplasma and blue whales. What about mycoplasma and whales? Not whales, generally. Blue whales are the largest animals on Earth, and mycoplasmas are bacteria, the smallest. Like you said. Ah, yes, of course. Very good. I see you read ahead in preparation for class today. That's not in the textbook. I had to look it up because I wanted to know, and the textbook wasn't comprehensive enough.
Anita closes her book.
I don't think these textbooks are good enough either. I want you to bring in something that you want to learn about, and we'll do some research together. How does that sound? Much better than this textbook. I was reading about rising sea temperatures and how blue whales can only live in water between 10 and 25 degrees Celsius. What happens to blue whales when the water temperature rises above 25 degrees? Where do they go? Do they migrate? Do they change the level at which they swim because the water is cooler the closer to the seafloor? Would the pressure hurt?
You have so many questions, but there's someone else coming. The custodian. You watch him approach and shut your mouth tight.
Good evening, young lady.
Anita steps in, just like your parents do when strangers try to talk to you.
Good evening. Thanks for letting us stay late.
It's what the library's here for. See you both tomorrow?
You just nod as he turns and walks down the next aisle. You wish you could say hello to him, but your mouth just won't let you. And you don't know why.
What expression is on this person's face?
You take a look at the photo the doctor is holding. The person has their eyebrows very close together, and their mouth is a thin, straight line, with the sides curved down into a frown. The eyes are narrowed, and their nose is scrunched up. You mold your face into what the person looks like in the photo. You whisper,
"I don't really know."
You're in a doctor's office, but instead of sitting on an exam table, you and your mom and your dad are sitting in chairs. This isn't like a normal doctor's office where you put on that itchy gown and they check your eyes and your ears and make you say, ah. You really don't like those kinds of doctors. These doctors you've been seeing these past few months are different. You look to the wall in front of you, where you see a photograph of a koala in a eucalyptus tree. There's a leaf hanging out of the marsupial's mouth and a baby joey on her back. As the koala clings to the tree and the joey to its mother, it makes you tense up. What will happen to that baby koala? What will happen to all of you? You push that thought away.
It makes you too sad to think about, and you have to focus on answering the doctor's question right now.
That's okay. Can you tell me what the person in this photo is feeling? Angry? Confused? Disgusted? Those are all very different. Can you pick one? Well, I'm frustrated. Can I pick frustrated? Sure. Thank you for trying your best. The doctor turns to your parents and says, "The specialist will be here in just a moment." You don't really understand what some of these questions are for, but you were told there weren't any wrong answers. What's the point in taking a test without any right or wrong answers? You can feel the koala watching you from the photo on the wall. These tests are all pointless, all a big waste of time. There are more important things in the world to talk about than people's expressions. Then your mom turns to you. "We love you very, very much. You know that, right?" Why is she saying that now, in this doctor's office? You're just waiting for the doctor to come in. She's never said that at a regular doctor's appointment. Maybe this isn't a regular doctor's appointment. That familiar pit in your stomach sets in, making you feel queasy and nervous. A different doctor walks in with a beige folder. She isn't wearing a white coat like the regular doctors do. You were going to ask why she didn't wear a white coat, but then decided not to. It didn't seem to matter, really.
"Thanks for waiting."
You look over at your parents, and your mom is reaching over to squeeze your dad's hand. She does that when she's nervous sometimes. You feel that familiar pit in your stomach get really heavy. Something must be wrong. The doctor turns to you.
"You appear to have autism spectrum disorder."
Your mom softly starts crying. She does that a lot. She's very dramatic. She cries when she's sad, and when she's happy, and when she's scared, and when she's relieved. It's all very confusing. It's not dangerous or harmful at all. It just means that you process things differently. You socialize and communicate differently. That's all. You still feel icky from the pit in your stomach. But your dad says, "It's such a relief to have some answers." And that pit in your stomach shrinks just a little bit smaller. If your parents are relieved, that must mean that you're going to be okay. These diagnoses are just a first step. There's a lot of work that comes next to make sure she has a happy and fulfilling life. And I have no doubt she will. The doctor talks to your parents, and you play with the words he said in your mind. Autism. So that's why you never understood how to talk to the kids in your classes. There's a word for what makes you different from them. You feel lighter now. This is what your parents mean when they say they feel relief. Back at home, your house feels brighter than it has in months. But there's something that's still bothering you, something that you haven't told your parents yet. Your dad is at the stove boiling pasta for a special dinner, and your mom is reviewing her lines for her upcoming opera performance.
"Mom? Dad?"
"Yes?"
"There's something else I need to tell you. I haven't been talking as much because of the other kids at school, but there's also something else. There's something else I'm sad about. Something I've been too scared to talk about."
Your mom looks up at you and smiles.
"You can tell us anything."
"I saw a video in class a few months ago about climate change, and ever since then, I'm worried about the whole world. It's in danger. All of us are in danger, and I have to save the planet before it's too late."
A few months later, you're sitting in the kitchen with your mom, doing what you love to do most. Research.
"Mom, look at this."
It's just you and your mom at home. Your dad took your sister to Rome for a vacation. You're not jealous. You refuse to go. You don't fly in airplanes. Planes cause too much pollution. They hurt the planet.
What'd you find?
You show her your laptop where you've been keeping a running spreadsheet.
Remember that newspaper that said they'd been doing an entire series on climate change? Guess the percentage of articles that were actually about the climate. 25%?
You laugh.
I wish. Less than 3% of the articles in a special issue about climate change.
Just as you didn't know about any of these things until you saw that video in class, you realize that most people probably aren't doing anything because they don't know what's going on. So, you turn to the media to see what they're writing about. And almost no one is actually talking about it.
How can anyone be expected to take action to change their behavior for the environment when they don't even know there's a problem with the environment?
That question keeps ringing in your head as you're walking up the pathway to Anita's house. She's standing at the door and waves to your dad as he drives away.
Did your dad get a new car?
Yeah, it's electric. No fossil fuels required. Anita doesn't have to tutor you anymore since you're able to go to class again. But you don't really have many friends your own age, and you like having someone to talk to.
Cinnamon buns or sugar cookies today?
Cinnamon buns. Anita floats through her kitchen, pulling out flour and sugar and spices. You find the almond milk and margarine in the fridge. Anita keeps vegan alternatives stocked for you after you stopped eating animal products.
How are those solar panels working?
Good.
But no one else in the apartment building wants to switch their electricity to them.
I don't know why. They're already installed.
That seems silly. It seems selfish and pointless.
Anita begins sifting flour, and you stop pouring out the almond milk to watch the fine powder fall into the bowl. Mesmerized. It reminds you of falling snow.
Personal choices to lower our carbon footprints are important. They feel futile when you're the only ones doing it. It's infuriating.
Solo actions feel futile, but I changed what groceries I buy because you informed me of the impact of my choices. So you're going to have to tell other people about why they need to change how they're living too.
Me? Talk to strangers? Even if I could, I'm just a kid. No one would listen to me. I saw an advertisement for a writing competition in the paper. That might be a good way to get the word about climate change out to more people. No talking to strangers required.
A newspaper? Asking for essays about climate change? That sounds almost too good to be true.
Do you think I'd have a chance at winning? And getting my essay printed?
You won't know unless you put your voice out there and try. Several months later, you're standing by the door to your apartment. You're waiting for your mom to come home with the newspaper. You entered the competition that Anita told you about, and today, they're printing the winning essays.
I'm so nervous.
Mom will be home with the paper any minute. You'll see if your essay got printed soon.
That doesn't change how I'm feeling now.
You stare at the door, willing your mom to walk in. After what feels like ages, you see the doorknob turn.
Flip to the section.
Your mom smiles at you and rolls her eyes.
Welcome home, Mom. Thanks for going to 3 different newsstands to find the right paper, Mom. Flip to the section.
You take the paper from her hands, scanning the pages. You find the right page, scan the essay titles, and...
Yes!
You jump around in your kitchen. You're too excited to stand still. Your essay wasn't just one of the ones printed. You won first place. This is real. People will read this over coffee today. Finally, the issue of climate change will leave your home's walls and enter the minds of everyone in the region who reads the morning paper.
We are so proud of you.
But this is just the first step. You turn to your parents.
You remember the American kids who walked out of school on strike in February?
Your parents look at each other before answering.
Yes, we remember.
We heard about their strike all the way here in Sweden. They made international news.
And?
I want to go on a strike, too. For climate change awareness.
Your parents freeze. You know that it's not allowed for kids to miss school.
That's why it'd be so important. It's an act of civil disobedience. Like Rosa Parks. She brought attention to segregation in the United States.
You can't always tell what people are thinking, but you can tell your parents don't love your idea as much as you do.
The parliamentary elections are in 3 weeks. I'll just go on strike leading up to the election. 3 weeks, that's it.
Just for 3 weeks? Until the election?
Yes, to bring awareness to climate change before the election. And then I'll stop and go back to school.
Your parents nod.
Sure. If this is what feels good for you to do, then let's give it a try.
Several weeks later, your alarm blares and you jump out of bed. You put on your blue Velcro shoes, your blue sweatshirt, and grab your freshly painted sign. The background is white and has black letters that say, "School Strike for Climate."
Dad, do you have the flyers I printed?
Your dad hands you a stack of papers, and you look at the top one. You wrote up a flyer with some statistics about climate change and a little bit about what you're doing. It says,
"I'm in the 9th grade, and I am school striking for the climate. Since you adults don't care about my future, I won't either."
You and your dad bike over to the Parliament building, and you find a place against the light gray stone wall to sit. You prop up your sign, put your purple backpack down next to you, and settle into your home for the next 3 weeks.
Are you sure about this?
Yes, Dad, I'm sure.
I'll be back at 3 o'clock to pick you up, okay?
Okay.
Your dad turns to get back on his bike.
Dad.
He turns around.
Thanks for helping me do this.
Of course. I love you.
The sky is the same shade of gray as the stone you're leaning against. You're glad you wore your bright yellow raincoat, in case it rains. A woman walks by, and you sit up straight. You muster all your courage. Your heart is racing.
Excuse me.
The woman jumps a little bit. You hand her a flyer from where you're sitting.
Can you take a photo of me?
Sure.
She takes your phone and snaps a few photos. You stare into the camera. You don't want to smile for the photo. You're not happy that you're forced to miss school in order to get the attention climate change deserves.
How do these look?
You look into your serious gaze. You're small for a 9th grader, but your stern expression makes you look older.
These are good. Thank you.
You post the photos on your Instagram and Twitter pages. You use social media to talk to people about climate change. Sometimes people are mean to you online, but it's nothing you haven't heard before. So easy to ignore. You only have about 20 followers, but somehow your photos get shared and shared and shared. A pair of elderly women walk by.
"School attendance is mandatory, young lady."
"I know. That's the point."
"It's important that you stay in school."
"It's more important that I have a planet to live on by the time I'm your age."
You hand them your flyer, but they walk on without taking one. You shrug it off. Not everyone will be willing to listen to what you have to say. That's fine. You dealt with it on the playground. You can deal with it here. A few hours later, two people wearing Greenpeace t-shirts approach you.
"I'm Ivan, and this is Fanny. We're with Greenpeace." "I see that."
You already know about Greenpeace. It's an organization for people who care about the planet. But what are they doing here?
"We saw on social media you were striking for the climate."
"This is awesome.
Have you filed a permit?"
"Permit?" You shake your head no.
"Don't worry. We can help you do that so you can keep coming back. You're planning on coming back tomorrow, right?"
You nod.
"Great. If you need any help, let us know. We'll do whatever we can."
Somehow it's already 3 p.m.
Your dad will be here any minute. You can't remember the last time you've talked this much in a day.
But people don't walk away when you talk to them about climate statistics. You can speak the truth and not get in trouble. As tired as you are, you also feel lighter. The lightness isn't a relief. It's different. This light feeling is hope. You can see your dad coming up over the bridge, so you put your book in your backpack and gather up your flyers.
You're the girl on strike, right?
You turn around and see a man with a notebook and a voice recorder.
I'm with the newspaper. Can I interview you?
She's very tired. Can you come back tomorrow?
Your dad gently leads you off towards your bike. But instead, you take a deep breath and take your backpack off.
No, I'm okay. I want to do the interview.
Your dad looks surprised.
Are you sure you want to give an interview?
You nod, straightening your shoulders. You feel ready for this.
Yes, I'm sure.
You turn away from your dad and towards the reporter.
What do you want to know?
Your dad puts a hand on your shoulder for just a moment before walking away to give you your space for the interview. You can feel him nearby, but you don't need his support. You can do this all on your own.
Can you tell me why you're on strike?
They told us that there's this thing called climate change and that it's a very serious threat against our future.
The more I learned about it, the more I thought, if this is so serious, why don't we talk about it and try to solve it all the time?
You finally have the words you've been desperate to get out to the world. You have found someone who will listen to what you have to say. Maybe tomorrow, more people will be willing to listen too. When you show up the next day, you aren't the only one on strike. Students, parents, and even teachers skip school to join you. By your last day, thousands of people in hundreds of other cities all have school strikes. You told your parents you'd only miss school for 3 weeks, but that was only the beginning. On the last day of your strike, you announce to a crowd of 1,000 people that you will continue to strike every Friday until your home country of Sweden adopts stricter climate regulations. A video of your speech goes viral. You spark a movement of protests that in September 2019 leads to the largest global climate demonstration in history. 4 million people participate in a strike that began with you sitting alone outside of a parliament building. You give a speech in New York City, but you don't fly there. You and your dad take a 3-week journey on a solar-powered sailboat. Because when you swore you'd never fly again, you meant it. So when the United Nations invited you to speak in New York, you make the journey across the Atlantic Ocean. You speak at conference after conference around the world, calling out diplomats and politicians for their inaction on climate change. For you, it's easy. People's actions should match their words, no matter how nice they sound. And when they lie, you tell them you notice. You remind them that you and kids all over the world know the difference between right and wrong. You can see it as clearly as juice boxes on the playground and plastic in the rising sea. You've met presidents, prime ministers, the Pope, and other teen activists from around the world. Millions of people have heard your speeches, which are always direct, honest, and hopeful. You were silent as a child because you thought no one would listen to that girl who was so different from everybody else. Now that you're a teenager, you use that difference as a superpower. You speak to the highest powers in the world and force them to make changes, because everyone deserves to have a healthy, clean, and safe world.
It may seem like we are asking for a lot, and you will, of course, say that we are naive. But this is just the very minimum amount of effort that is needed to start the rapid, sustainable transition. So either you do this, or you're going to have to explain to your children why you are giving up without even trying. But my generation will not give up without a fight.
You are climate activist Greta Thunberg.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to Who's Amazing Life ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids and Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
From Wondery, this is Who's Amazing Life. This episode contains reenactments and dramatized details. While we can't know exactly what was said, we use many sources when researching our stories, including biographies, documentaries, articles, and interviews.
If you'd like to learn more about Greta Thunberg, we recommend Our House is on Fire by Jeanette Winter and No One is Too Small to Make a Difference, a collection of Greta's speeches. I'm your host, Virginia Madsen. This episode was written by Michaela Morin. Our senior producer is Benjamin Gray. Sound design by 48 Windows. Additional audio assistance is by Sergio Enriquez. Produced by Dave Schilling and Andy Herman. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer-Beckman, Stephanie Jens, and Marshall Louie. For Wondery,